This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room so that heaven and earth may sing. You may think this is a bit early to begin to talk about the coming of the Lord, that is the first coming of the Lord, and to celebrate his birth, but maybe not, because our guests today say we might just need 40 days in order to do the adequate preparation. You may recall that Israel had to go through 40 years of the wilderness to prepare them to enter the promised land. You may recall that Jesus himself had to endure 40 days in the wilderness in order to prepare him to launch into his ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe it's appropriate for us to take 40 days in order to prepare our own minds and hearts for the celebration and remembrance of the first coming of the Savior, perhaps in effect actually helping us to prepare for his second coming. So today on Viewpoint, we have a very special treat. Our special guests, Sam and Kevin Sorbo, who are joining us with a very unusual book coming from a couple of actors, actresses, Christmas 40 Days Devotional. Christmas 40 Days Devotional. Now, this is not like any other devotional that you have read, friends. I'm telling you, what we're going to be talking about, and you will very quickly pick up the spirit and the sense of Kevin and Sam as we chat together today concerning this book and concerning the reasons why they have written this book, and also the very need for us to remember. Over and over again in the scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New, we're told we need to remember. Why do we need to remember? Because we so easily forget. And you don't even have to have Alzheimer's in order to forget. We just tend to forget. Things slip our minds, slip our hearts, and that's why we need to continue to maintain our minds and our hearts with a view toward the Lord and his coming. So welcome to Sam and Kevin Sorbo here from Southern Florida. It's great to have you on board.
It's great to be here with you.
Well, Kevin, you are down there in Secret Service protected country, aren't you?
Yeah, but they're not at my house. I don't understand why not.
Well, they haven't been on candidate's house either, apparently.
No, fair enough.
There's a lot of questions about that, sure. But you're down in the same neck of the woods. But it's great to have you on board here today to talk about the first coming of the Lord. So perhaps as a human interest factor, it might be helpful for us to spend just a couple of minutes talking about your own background. Kevin, you grew up in a Christian home, didn't you?
I did. I grew up at the Lutheran Church, typical of the Minnesota-Norwegian road that I followed. So St. John's Lutheran Church was my church growing up.
And Sam, you grew up in what, a combination merger of Jewish and whatever?
That's a very adequate description. Basically, I grew up in an atheist household.
And that certainly didn't prepare your heart to celebrate the coming of the Lord, did it?
No, I mean, we celebrated Christmas and Easter, but there was no spiritual reference for either of those holidays. So it was bunnies and Santa Claus and presents and chocolate. Which is very important. The chocolate part was very important to me growing up. It still is, actually.
Right.
But now the spiritual part is much more important.
Right, and you guys have kids. I'm told, Kevin, that you have, what, three kids?
We do. We have two boys and a girl. They're now 23 and 20, and my daughter is 19, just turned 19.
All right, and do you get the family together for the celebration of the first coming of the Lord?
They're still at home with us, which I love.
Isn't that great? Well, they're at home with you because, as Sam said a few weeks ago, right here on this program, you guys are homeschooling.
Yes.
And yeah, by the way, Sam, I want to tell you, I've done many programs on homeschooling over the past 29 and a half years here on Viewpoint. And yours had the greatest response of any that we have ever done.
Oh, fantastic. That makes me very happy.
Yeah, people just loved the interaction that we had and the spirit that you brought to the program.
Well, what's great is you have a very profound understanding of the intention behind education itself and also the homeschool movement. And so I really appreciate the opportunity that you gave me to express my ideas. And because it's a long format, it's a lot easier because my ideas about education and home education are substantially different from most people's idea.
Right.
And so you have to sort of walk them into this new paradigm. It's a really fervent paradigm shift, really, a strong paradigm shift. And so thank you for that opportunity. I appreciate that. And it really makes me happy to know that it resonated with your audience.
Well, Kevin, you know, that song, Joy to the World, that we opened with here says, "He rules the world with truth and grace." When you look at our world today, it doesn't much look like that, does it?
No, it's unfortunately got very divided. A lot of anger, a lot of hate out there. And you look at the secular movement within America alone, let alone the rest of the world. I think, we have a strong battle on our hands. And I think these Sorbo Studios, Sam and I, are just going to fight the battle the best way we know how, because we love the art of making movies and television shows. We want to do movies that glorify God. We want movies that have hope, love, faith, redemption, laughter, things that Hollywood used to do, as you know.
Right.
And now there's a whole different sort of platform out there. So we're doing the best we can to battle in our little independent world.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, and I want to bring honor and recognition to that, not only through your efforts through homeschooling, but also now helping us to get our minds and our hearts right to celebrate the first coming of Christ and all that it implies. So we don't really see him ruling the world with truth and grace today, but to the extent that he rules and reigns in each one of our hearts, that is the entryway for the light of the world, that is Christ himself, to, emanate out of our own lives. So that's what we want to focus on here on the program today. Now, you talk about there's these terms that are used not in every area of the Christian church in America, but they're common. One is the word Advent. Sam, what are we talking about when we talk about Advent?
Well, Advent means the coming. So it's the arrival, really. And so the Advent that we talk about when we're talking about Christmas is the time before the holiday. And
uh-huh.
So a lot of people spend their Advent preparing, baking cookies, having cookie swaps, and
uh-huh.
Finding other ways to celebrate. And I just wanted to bring, I guess we just wanted people to pay attention to Advent being the coming of the baby, the Christ child, this transformational moment in human history.
And by implication, that also implies the second advent of Christ. And so that's where we're heading, friends. I hope you'll stay tuned. You're going to want to get a copy of this wonderful book, Christmas 40 Days Devotional. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. You see, here on this program, we're not just interested in information, although many people say, how in the world do you come up with such a vast amount of information? But all of that information is for the purpose of transformation. And in order to achieve that, there has to be application. Application is the missing thing in so much of our Christian world today, in our preaching and our teaching, and even with regard to the celebration of Christmas, which means Christ Mass, or it's the remembrance, actually, and celebration of Christ. We're not going to X out Christ, even though some rationalize that Xmas actually means the same thing. Well, in my mind and heart, it doesn't quite mean the same thing because people don't see it that way. But today on Viewpoint, we are going to see it that way as Kevin and Sam Sorbo help to translate the reason for the season. Now, we've seen that on plates and cups and banners and so on for probably 30, 40 years now, the reason for the season. And yet somehow it seems that we kind of miss the reason for the season, even among professing Christians, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it does. I think people, you know, you talk about the commercialization of it, and you can see that even in movies like Miracle on 34th Street, they talk about it back, and that was back in the 40s. So they've been talking about the commercialization of the holiday for such a long, long time. But, you know, you see what's happening with our churches right now. You know, we live in this cancel culture, woke world. It's crazy. You see pastors out there woke as well. I do a lot of speaking events. Sam does a lot of speaking events. You know, I get up there all the time, and I say, pastors, you have to remember that you work for God, not for government. I say the only thing God and government have in common are the first two letters. After that, there's nothing there. So we need to get basics of loving your neighbor as yourself, because there's a lot of people out there who don't like themselves at all, and that hatred turns into a very dark and black hole to live in, and they just want to drag everybody else down with them. So, you know, we mentioned very briefly the movies that I'm doing and Sam's doing, and we're trying to reach people out there. And look, every day I get stopped. I travel a lot. Hotels, airports, whatever it may be, people stop and say, thank you for the work you're doing. We know that Hollywood has attacked you and blacklisted you, but you continue doing the work you're doing. Well, that's a God thing. God put me on this road about 12 years ago, and I realize now what I'm doing. I'm turning down, obviously, Hollywood blacklisted me, so I'm not up for big movies anymore, but I'm okay with that. I love the movies that I'm doing. When I have people walk up to me and say, I became a Christian because of your movies. And
well, that's wonderful. You know, it's a famous psychiatrist coming out of the Holocaust who said, he who has a why to live can withstand almost any how. And you obviously have a new why to live and to carry out the calling that you have for the kingdom of God. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Sam, give us sort of a quick thumbnail insight as to a few of the movies and projects that that you've done before we head deeply into the first day of Advent.
Okay, so I guess I would love to bring people's attention to Let There Be Light, which is a movie that I co-wrote and we produced and Kevin directed. It opened second at the box office to Thor Ragnarok, which was, of course, a multiple million-dollar production.
$300 million.
And we were just this little tiny production, but we opened second at the box office. We stayed in theaters for about 4 months. And it's a very clear presentation of the gospel in a way that I think most people haven't seen it before. What I really love about that movie is that we actually cast as the pastor a former gangster, a former mafia guy who served prison time and basically played himself. And
interesting.
I love one of the secular critics wrote about, his name is Michael Francisi, but one of the secular critics wrote, he was the least believable character. And I'm like, dude, he literally gave you his real serial number or, you know, prisoner number because he didn't want to memorize the one that we wrote for him. He's like, can I just use my real one? And we're like, sure.
And he pulled out the Bible that the guard had given to him when he was in South Texas.
Isn't that amazing? Well, how can people see that film today?
So that's available. It's playing on YouTube on the Christian channel with ads. And that's the place that I guess I would send, because that's just the easiest place to go.
Let there be light. Let there be light. Yeah,
and also they should go to Sorbo Studios because that's where they can get the DVD if that's what they want. SorboStudios.com. And I want to encourage people, go to sorbostudios.com and sign up for our newsletter. We often include uplifting stories or just good information about what we are up to or
upcoming movies, things like that.
Other things that are happening in the culture that we want to bring their attention to. We don't inundate you with emails. It's just the best way that we know to stay in touch.
Well, I think that's terrific. And Kevin, I know that you recently did a program, a movie, with regard to persecution. The back page of Epic Times had your promotion on it for probably 6 months. And somehow I missed seeing it. Give us the title of that movie and how it could be seen today.
Well, it's called The Firing Squad.
There you go.
It's a true story set in an Indonesian prison. I play a guy that was an American over there, and he actually murdered a man in Indonesia. He got the death penalty during his many decades in prison before he was actually executed in 2015. He became a pastor. Here's a man that went in there with nothing but hate and anger in his life. He had nothing going for him in terms of that. He found, I should say, God found him, became a pastor, saved many lives, not only of fellow prisoners, but of guards as well. And it's a, Cuba Gooding Jr. did an amazing job. And in fact, Cuba, on the set, rededicated himself to Christ, which is a pretty emotional moment for everyone.
I am so sorry I missed that. And that can be obtained and seen where?
I believe streaming right now. I think they can find it on any streaming service out there.
Okay.
They can check out Netflix, Amazon.
If you just put the title in Google will tell you where it's showing and how much it is at the various different places.
And the title again?
The Firing Squad.
The Firing Squad. Yeah, well, that really caught my attention because my 11th book was just coming out called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And I'm doing the same thing all across the country, just like you are right now, interviewing concerning that new book. So that's a subject that is critically important, I think, for the church to embrace.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why we're here, is we want to tell these stories of redemption because everybody has fallen short, right? And the sooner that people realize that, the sooner that they can come to forgiveness for themselves, which is the most uplifting thing that we have. We want to share that with the world. I mean, if everybody were just a little bit more Christ-like, the world would be a much better place.
You think?
So that's what this is all about.
Well, Kevin, one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah gave us this, and he said, for the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it from this time forth and even forevermore. That Advent piece, telling us of the coming of the Lord about 700 years before Christ ever showed up on the scenes in about 4 BC. He's born, the government's going to be upon his shoulder, his name's going to be called not only Wonderful and Counselor, the Prince of Peace, but the Mighty God. Wow. We learn a lot from about Christ's coming from that passage, don't we, Kevin?
We do, and I got to throw in a little 2 bits for Mel Gibson because for 5 years he's been working on a sequel to The Passion, dealing with the resurrection.
Well, I was going to bring that up. I just noticed that. I wonder whether he's going to go to such great extents to show the gore.
Go ahead. You know, he's going to, actually going back to the very beginning, really before Lucifer gets banished. And Lucifer, when he banishes into earth, Lucifer looks at God and says, I'm going to take more souls than you. And when Mel told me that line, it gave me chills up and down my body.
Wow.
I tell you, that's exactly what Satan is doing today.
Well, tell me, what do you think is going on in the mind and heart of Mel Gibson these days?
You know, I've been talking to him off and on for the last year. We talk about getting in contact every few months.
Uh-huh.
Get a little update, hoping I get a role in there, along with Jim Caviezel, of course, who's coming back to play.
Okay.
But, you know, he is certainly disappointed in what's happening, but he gets it. He speaks his mind, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be, he's going to get this movie made, and he knows the importance of it. He's looking at this. It's probably the most important movie he's ever made other than The Passion.
Do you think that he has actually committed his heart to Christ?
I really do. Uh-huh. I mean, he's a hard-edged man. He's had to deal with his own personal demons.
Yeah, he's kind of a crusty dude, isn't he?
He is. You know what? I believe that he's certainly a man who has a faith very strong within it. He just has the battle, he's got to find a way to battle what he's got going on inside him, as we all do every day.
All right. So there is born to us this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Tell us about how you've laid this book out, Sam. As I've gone through it, I don't do very many interviews concerning devotionals. I just don't. But this one caught my attention. And the way you have laid it out and the purpose for it and the need for us to set our minds and our hearts in accordance with the first coming of the Lord in order to prepare more adequately for the second coming really caught my attention. So how did you lay this book out?
So the idea behind this book was to encourage people to really dig into the meaning of Christmas for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
So spending the 40 days both before and after Christmas. So Christmas time, it comes before Christmas and it comes after Christmas. And the idea behind it is that eventually we will adopt a habit. You know, it takes 30 days to adopt a habit. You'll adopt a habit of honoring Christmas every day, because that's what being a Christian is, basically.
Yes, right.
So
this isn't just a one-day celebration. This is something we need to get our minds and hearts around to, as the Scripture says, prepare the way of the Lord.
That's right. And this being our third devotional, I've written one for home for families, mm-hmm. to teach their children virtue. Kevin and I wrote Share the Light, which is the devotional that goes with the movie,
yeah,
Let There Be Light.
Companion piece with the DVD. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this one I took a slightly different tack, but I still included discussion questions for each day.
Yeah.
On day six, there's the scripture, then there's a short story, and then there are discussion questions. There's a prayer, sorry. There's a
right.
prayer. Then
mm-hmm.
there are some discussion questions that are open-ended questions. So you can do this with your kids, or you can just do this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the questions are meant to get you to think about the various things that the scripture refers to, because it's
right.
not enough to read the Bible. You need to chew on it. You need to think about it.
In other words, you need to apply it. It's not enough to read it. In fact, did you know, Kevin, that there's no place in the Bible that tells us to read it? It says we're to study it and we're to meditate on it, but it doesn't tell us to read it. Isn't that amazing?
I love that. That's great. I'm gonna steal it.
Well, you say that this is a message for the future, and Kevin, my understanding is that the number 40 is actually the number of testing. So it's also the number for preparation, too. So it's testing and preparation for that which is to come. So day 5 is called a message for the future. I think that's
right.
good.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and then I just want to point out that every day ends with at least one, what we decided to call Christmas commission.
Uh-huh.
And that then puts your faith to your feet and encourages you to go out and enact Christmas
yeah.
in some way.
So you're applying your faith to your feet and your feet to your faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, it's laid out, you've got the Advent, and that's preparation. And then you have what you call Christmas time. And then you have, at the end, Epiphany?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about that after the break. Stay tuned, friends. You got to get a copy of the book, Christmas 40 Days Devotional. $19. We'll put it on your in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Don't miss out on this wonderful book for this unique moment in time, friends. You might think it's a little early here in the first part of November, but in fact, it's not, because this book is about 40 days of preparation, 40 days of setting our minds and our hearts in such a way that we're not just looking at the commercialization of Christmas, but actually we're looking at the coming of the Lord, the first coming, as the preparation and setting the stage for his second coming. And so Sam and Kevin do a great job in putting all this together. Again, the book, $19 on our website, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 7, 0879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I have in my hands, Sam, a picture of an election, I guess you'd say like a poster, a yard poster, a yard sign. And here's what it says: Jesus 2024, our only hope. Jesus 2024, our only hope. Well, it's not just for 2024. Jesus was our only hope from the moment of his birth, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny. It's also like, I'm going to have to choose the lesser of two evils. Yeah, that's true. Like, you're stating the obvious, because the evil runs through the heart of every man. So these people who are the people who abstain from voting, really, I struggle with that, because
yes,
we need to take part in the choice. If you don't take part in the choice, you're part of the problem.
Well, Kevin, aren't we called to be ambassadors for the Lord? So if we're called to be ambassadors for the Lord, it seems to me that our vote is part of that ambassadorship.
I agree. I mean, every election cycle, I don't understand why it's happening. They're predicting 35 million Christians won't be casting a vote.
Unbelievable.
Whatever reason that may be makes no sense to me.
It's unconscionable.
But yeah, it's zero sense. Again, it's why I don't like the Orange Man. The Orange Man is bad. I've been told by CNN he's bad.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, you know what? Were your 4 years under Trump better, or were your 4 years under Biden and Harris better? I think you should vote according to that. Simple as that. If you really believe one or the other, that's the way you should vote. Because if you're not a Biden supporter or a Harris supporter, I should say, but you consider yourself a Christian and a conservative, and you don't vote, that is a vote for Harris.
Well, it is. It's a half a vote. If you don't vote for somebody, you're voting for the other by half a vote. So it just works out that way. But we're not talking here about voting. That's not what we're looking at here today. We're looking at the first coming of the Lord and how we should focus on that in order to prepare our own minds and hearts and that of our families for the second advent of the Lord, which, mm-hmm, as another California boy out there, what was his name, Andre Crouch, and his disciples said, soon and very soon we're going to see the King.
Well, that's the thing today, you know, actually Kevin and I were just speaking in an event last night, and there's a lot of trepidation in the world today. We're seeing signs, and we're seeing things that seem to only happen in the last book of the Bible taking form. And so there's a lot of trepidation, and I tell people, you know, it doesn't really matter. We're called to occupy, and we're called to walk in faith.
Yes.
And so that's really what this is about is, you know, yes, I know there's an election coming, but there's also the holiday that celebrates the birth of Christ coming. And maybe if we focus on that, we will have less anxiety and less concern about the future because the book's been written already.
Exactly.
We know how.
Well, you mentioned about the second advent. Well, I did a documentary called Before the Wrath, which was the number one documentary on Amazon for about 4.5 months.
And wow. That sounds great.
It's fantastic. You talk about preparing. Well, people better prepare because all the signs right now are pretty crazy.
Well, you know what, Kevin? That's the reason we're on the air. I believe that's the reason why the Lord called me to leave the practice of law there in California at the height of my career after 20 years to plead his cause in the land as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation here on the near edge of the second coming. And that's what we do every single day for 29 and a half years now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we're doing here today in a different way concerning your book, the Christmas 40 Days Devotional. Now, kids, moms are really concerned with kids, Sam, and I know you are with your three kids. So how do you prepare your kids? How can this book be used to prepare families?
All right, so the thing that I love about this book is it's the soft introduction to reading the Bible.
Okay,
and
you're right.
I personally needed that myself. We joined a Bible study, and I felt like, I think is true for a lot of people. They look at this great big book, and it's intimidating, and they don't know where to start, and they know that people read it out of order. They go to church, they get a little bit of scripture here, maybe a little bit of scripture there. Maybe they just get, I've been to too many churches where the message is be a good person.
Yeah.
And, you know, no walking orders, just be a good person. And then, you know, life will be better or whatever. But people need to read their Bible. And so to me, this is my ambassador. This is my emissary to get people to read the Bible more.
Well, I thought a famous actress by the name of Julie Andrews told us that the very best place to start was to start at the very beginning.
Well,
isn't that what she said?
I agree, but like, you know, the Bible intimidates people.
Yeah.
They just go, well, how can I ever read that? So, by the way, there's a whole plan to read the Bible in a year.
True.
There's some very, very popular podcasts that go through the Bible in a year. My own children have done reading the Bible in a year, so it's not as daunting as it seems, but to a lot of people, you know, they'd prefer to get something that's a little bit baby food, and to a certain degree, that's what a devotional is. It's a little bit of the Bible with explanation as you go.
Right.
But also the idea of the Christmas commissions for every day to give you more of the Christmas spirit, to have you put your faith to your feet and start enacting some of the Christmas miracle in other people's lives and in your own life.
So it's like what Jesus' brother James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So you're putting feet to your faith. You're trying to at least take initial baby steps to do something to activate the spirit of the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, and if this can then engage people enough that they will go to their Bibles and start reading the Bible, I will promise them the Bible transforms you.
And I tell people all the time to read the Bible because it will scare the hell out of you.
You got that right, brother, especially if you read the portions that will do that. But if you don't, like most pastors, a lot of pastors will not even teach or preach from those passages anymore because they're more interested in church growth than in people growth.
Yeah. Our pastor, when we were still in California, we were there for 10 years.
Yeah.
And he used to say I like to manage my congregation down to a, I like to preach my congregation down to a manageable size.
That's right. Was that Mark Pickerel?
No, it was Rob McCoy.
Oh, okay. All right.
We moved too far away from Mark's church, so we ended up going to a Calvary Chapel up in Newbury Park.
Yeah. That's the church that was assaulted by the COVID-19 edicts.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And he was so fervent in our freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. And of course, he took it all the way to Sacramento.
And it cost him $1 million too.
Yeah, which he won then later. But he had atheists actually come to church, not to be churchgoers necessarily, support him during COVID.
Isn't that amazing?
So, and look, any way we can get up is a good way, right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, I'm very puzzled here. How you can have the 12 Days of Christmas, a song, how does that work with regard to scriptural devotion?
So in the devotional, we take the 12 Days of Christmas song and we explore what those 12 days were supposed to represent. And it's a little nebulous. People say that, you know, people argue over exactly what the 12 Days of Christmas represent.
Right.
But each of the numbers of the,
because I don't know what Lords of Leaping means.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to look it up because that's
on the throne of God.
Okay, got it.
Like that.
All right. So you've got all 12 days of Christmas toward the last 12 days of the book, and then you leap over into a period up to January 6th. What's January 6th about, Kevin?
It's about the
Epiphany.
The Epiphany, yeah. It deals with the Epiphany. It's all, the whole afterwards, you know, the appearance and manifestation.
Yeah.
What's happening around the world. The three kings are mixed in there as well, I believe. And I think it's just a wonderful look at sort of the afterword of what the book has.
Well, most of the evangelical church does not look at January 6th as significant. So, Sam, what portions of the professing Christian community look at January 6th, the Epiphany?
So it tends to be more a Catholic thing.
Uh-huh.
However, it's not enough to wrap the present. You got to put the bow on it.
Okay.
So that, to me, that's what the Epiphany is. It's the understanding that comes after the event. The event is the event, and then you need to figure out what that means in your life. And that's why we decided to include it in the book, because it is part of Christmas the world over. There's a large contingent of people in the world that do celebrate Epiphany.
Right.
And I'm not sure why the evangelical church sort of shied away from it, and I just think that it's important that we extend. It is part of the extension of Christmas.
All right.
For 40 days.
All right, we'll be right back after this, friends. Christmas 40 days devotional. You got to get the book.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
There are many Christmas carols that I love. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, Silent Night. All of them are wonderful. I even like O Holy Night because it's a great solo song that I used to sing when I sang as a baritone or tenor, second tenor, and not as a baritone. But I'll tell you, friends, Joy to the World is the one that really stands out to me. It really does. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Now, the problem that we have is preparing room in our hearts. Another song says, there is room in my heart for thee. But is that true? Maybe we should sing, is there room in my heart for thee? And I think that's one of the things that this book is about, is preparing our hearts. It's preparing our hearts as a home resident for the Spirit of the Lord as we move toward the celebration of the coming of the Just One, the first coming of the Just One, so that our hearts are tenderized to prepare our hearts for the second advent of the Just One who will come to judge the earth in righteousness. So, that having been said, again, the book, Christmas 40 Days Devotional, I think you're going to very much enjoy it. You're going to use it as a family, and it's $19, a hardbound book. On our website, saveus.org, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Add $6 for postage and handling, and give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Now, Kevin, the song also says, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Is he reigning today? Is he reigning in the church today? What do you think?
Well,
yeah, I would think so.
It doesn't look like it, does it?
Is for those who actually are not CEO Christians, I think that I think he certainly is there.
But it's a choice. He either reigns in your heart or he doesn't.
Okay, so what does it mean for him to reign? We say Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord. We had a political candidate who said those words are not acceptable in our sight. So go down the street. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord is not acceptable. And yet the early colonists in this country said, no, we reject the idea that George Washington will be king. Jesus is King. We have only one king, but Jesus. That kind of tells us whether or not the Savior reigns in America, doesn't it, Kevin?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, you look at, I come across so many atheists in my life now that are fans of the movies I do, and they say, you know, I don't agree with your opinion on this and that, but I think you do nice movies. To me, that's a little bit of a win. But how do we get going from there to make these people, to help these people find that next step? I think that's probably
exactly
the biggest question.
Well, that's right, and that's what you're trying to do through the agency of your movies. So we have then, no more let sin and sorrows grow. He comes to make his blessings flow. So why is it we continue to allow the sins to flow, even in God's own house?
Well, you know this. I mean, we've all been, I would say, distracted purposely away from the teachings of the Bible.
Distracted purposely, okay.
Yeah, we have been purposely distracted by our school.
Oh, okay, so I see what you're saying.
Growing up, we were steeped in not even an acknowledgement of the Bible in school. Mm-hmm. And school, we were told, was the source of education. So the default position would be the Bible is not a place of education. The Bible has no value. If for your intellect, the Bible has zero value for smart, which is a lie,
yeah.
But we've all been lost in it because we all went to public school. And you know, I'm using all obviously very generally, but basically that's the case.
Well, I went to public school, Sam, and my last public school experience after 24 different schools, by the way, across the country, was my senior year in Lakeland, Florida. And there, every morning, this was in 1962, every morning, I'm about 140 years old, Kevin. see, I taught school for 9 years. I practiced law for 20 years. I ran twice for the state legislature in California, and I've been doing this broadcast for 29 years, and I've been pastoring for 35 years. So that's about 145 years, right?
Wow. Right.
But anyway, what I was saying is there in Florida, every morning they opened with a scripture passage and prayer over the public loudspeaker.
Yeah, that's all fine and good, but they still taught evolution.
Okay. So the inculcation of that which was contrary to the word, will, and ways of God. So when the song says he rules the world with truth and grace, it seems to me, Kevin, that we want to believe he rules the world with grace, but not with truth.
Oh, wow.
Have you noticed that? They called it the grace awakening, not the truth awakening. Isn't that interesting?
Interesting, yeah. Mm. It is so interesting. And I'll tell you something. I think that might be true. Just if you look at the amount of lies that we have in our culture and the tremendous grace that we are shown by our holy God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. I would call that mercy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's we need tremendous mercy because of our great guilt.
Yeah. Well, you look at the amount of hypocrisy out there. I mean, it's incredible to me that lying is acceptable and right in your face, you know it's lying, and people I think apathy is probably one of the biggest killers, not only in America, but around the world right now.
Well, yeah. Okay, so now I have to address that. Apathy is a result of the lack of truth in our schools. We are steeped in a lack of truth. We are steeped in this idea that there is no honor. We've lost honor in our culture.
Yes, so we have.
And you know that old adage. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We're falling all over ourselves today.
Well, you must have read my book, Renewing the Soul of America.
I've read all your books.
Are you kidding me?
I am.
You know what happens to liars, you guys. I was just going to ask you how in the entertainment business you're able to keep the truth foremost. And now you just said, well, anyway. Hey, so how do you keep the truth foremost, Kevin?
How do you keep a foremost?
He can't lie. He tried.
Oh, he tried.
I have to zine off my oldest son. If we try to lie, you can tell right away we have this weird smile on our face. You know, we just get busted right away.
Got a terrible tell.
All right, what do you say to professing Christians out there who basically are living the life that the Rolling Stones defined years ago when they said, I can't get no satisfaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no satisfaction. What do you say, Sam?
I'm not sure what you mean. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's a lot of what our media, what our education system, what our movies, what our government, the power of influence. Walt Disney said back in the 1950s, movies and television will influence our youth. And I think he completely right, and I think he meant that for both sides of that coin.
Yeah.
And right now, it's just you see the evil out there, you see the evil intent, you see it's on purpose, you see the destruction of you know, we look at abortion, which is murder. We look at it as you know, a fender bender in a parking lot. It's like no big deal. Healthcare, yeah, it's crazy what we've done to normalize some of the most horrible acts of what we've done to our country.
Well, to normalize lies.
Yeah. And this is what they've been doing for so long now. And after generation of listening to all these lies, the truth is change into something else.
You know, I want to mention a book.
Which isn't good.
It's a different book that I wrote called Words for Warriors, based on the title is reminiscent of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals.
Oh, okay.
The book is basically a glossary of all the words that I could find that the left has changed the meaning of.
They've hijacked. Yeah.
And so instead of calling abortion murder, they call it health care. That's a lie. And the crux of the book is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this attack on our words is actually an attack against God.
Exactly. Well spoken, Sam.
Right? And words speak truth. That's the idea behind it. Jesus, when Pilate asked him, why have you come? He said, I came to testify to the truth.
Mm.
That was his reason for being here.
And Pontius Pilate, the secular, crusty Roman governor, in a sneering way said, what is truth? And that's what our culture is saying today.
Correct. That is the battle of the centuries. It's the ongoing battle, and we as Christians, we have to make a choice to stand for truth. And once you do, and once you start to stand and you don't move, it becomes so much easier. It seems very hard,
yeah,
but it's not. You just have to love the truth, which means loving Jesus.
Well, that brings us to the end of the story, at least in terms of Christ's first mission here on the planet. Just before he ascended back to the Father, he said to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he was born as a baby, came to earth in the form of human flesh. God raised him up. The Bible says that he gained a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now, that's an unusual thing, but that's what the Bible says. He gained a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord, and then ultimately was demonstrated as the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, and gave his final testimony, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And now the rest of the story is what we're writing. It's what we're doing in preparing for the second advent. So I think you guys have done a great job here. You wrapped up, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And in reality, we're not so sure we believe that. Because if we did believe that, even in God's own house, we would agree with everything he said, wouldn't we?
Yes. And frankly, to look at the flip side of that, most atheists live like they believe in God.
In what way?
Well, they have faith. They know the sun's going to rise the next day. like they live their lives as if their lives have meaning. And if they're just a collection of accidents, just a collection of chemical reactions, then their lives have no meaning. Why are they writing books? Why are they doing anything?
Exactly. So the reality is that your book, Christmas 40 Days Devotional, actually is to reveal that our lives have meaning because his life had meaning. God intended for us to see that he came full of both grace and truth, to live that out, to show us the way, and now it's time for us to live that out and prepare the way of the Lord, just as John the Baptist said before the first coming of the Lord, so we are told to prepare the way of the Lord for his second coming. I am so blessed that the two of you were able to come on today. Thanks for devoting the time to do this, Sam and Kevin. You're a blessing. I appreciate you. I hope that someday we'll be able to converse face-to-face. The book, friends, a $19 book, Christmas 40 Days Devotional. You're going to enjoy it and appreciate it. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. Add $6 for postage and handling. And look up all those other movies and books and things that Sam and Kevin have spoken about. You're going to be blessed. God bless, my friends, and let's prepare. Let's prepare our hearts for the first advent and by reason of that, the second advent.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.